stop. Max and Stacy's threesome.
Hey, it's Lex and Stacy, threesome podcast number 98. Hey, Stace.
Hey, Lex.
So today we're going to creep into the subject of millennials again.
My favorite. I love them.
There's some new research out. And apparently from generation to generation, and there's a big jump this time, but the handshake has gotten weaker.
Because the millennials are an entire generation of pussies.
Right.
Yes.
That's the emphasis on it, yes. It may just be a completely different corporate situation or a completely different ecosystem of being raised or whatever, but for some reason their handshakes are significantly, it says, weaker than previous generations.
I also believe, though, there's this, and like for you and people my age and stuff, it wouldn't, because it's more ingrained to be masculine. But there is kind of this shift in the idea of what masculinity is. And the days of like a super duper macho man, I think, are waning.
You wish.
I do think that they're going away.
It's kind of an end of an era. It's not as prevalent. It's becoming more of a techie than industrialized type world. And that's kind of what's going along with it. You know, the guys.
You can blame the whole metrosexual movement too.
I don't even think millennials are metrosexual. Far from it.
Well, no, they grow facial hair.
Yeah, they seem a lot more chill and a lot more. I mean, I would have made a great millennial as far as the dress goes.
I hate the hipster beards. I hate facial hair to begin with, especially big bushy hair. Oh my God, I hate it.
No, I don't like
that. And all the little hipster beards. I'm just like, oh boys, you're making yourself so ugly.
Yeah, I don't like the out of control beards. I still like the. Keep mine, George.
The Billy Mays.
George Michael-ish. Yeah. Very close
nice.
To this.
Yeah. We're all picturing it right now.
Yeah, that's right.
The freedom.
guy had the best beard ever. I'm sorry.
He was kind of the end of an era for me. Like, I wasn't into the music or anything, and I for a while thought he was cute, and then it was like he's gay. Which I don't care that he's gay, but at that point it was like, I just never ever really looked at any male celebrities and just went, wow, he's hot, because I just assume now that they might be gay.
Yeah, I'm the same way with like lesbians, like this Jillian chick, the workout chick, you know, is so hot looking. But now
is she lesbian?
But now that I know that she has a live-in chick and she has no interest in me, I therefore have none for her. You know, it's just the
right.
It's just the way it is. I recognize what a beautiful woman she is, but if I don't have a chance to play the game, it doesn't interest me.
See, I like to look at it, whereas if Brad Pitt and I were the only two people left on Earth, and not that we were trying to procreate to, like, repopulate the Earth, but surely he would want to stick his penis in something
sure.
once in a while. I'm his girl.
Yeah.
But it's different if he were not interested at all, because it's a vagina. No matter whose vagina it is, then that makes a difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same reason, even if a girl is completely heterosexual, if I don't think she's interested in me any longer, I'll break up for her. You know, I don't have any desire to be in a one-sided relationship. You know, and I certainly don't have any desire to be interested in somebody that I literally have no shot at. It just doesn't work for me. It's a waste of time. So that's kind of you're the first chick I've heard say that about a gay dude. That's kind of interesting. That's just said, yeah, he's gay. He doesn't care about me. So next, you know, I like that because it's real.
It's just, you know, I mean, you automatically, you know, and obviously, no, I don't think that I'm going to go nail celebrities or anything. Yeah. But, you know, there is that, again, we're the only two left. He's going to want to at least once.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, even if he has to pretend your vagina's an asshole.
I would prefer that he didn't. Yeah. I would prefer that he just be like, nice vagina.
Will you put some palm leaves on your ass so I can pretend
it's... It's a tropical glory hole.
So I can pretend it's a man. Some pine needles or something.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with your butts.
Oh, God. I just, but I get it. I, you know, it's like Portia de Rossi. You know, it's like when I, before I knew she was a lesbian, that was my chick. I just thought she was the most amazing thing on TV.
You know, Arrested Development, she's just, she's awesome. And luckily she plays, you know, a heterosexual woman because she's married to David Cross.
Yeah.
No, wait. Is she? I'm trying to think. Or were they siblings? No. Will Arnett, her, and then Michael Cera, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
Who are the siblings? No, it was Jason Bateman. Oh, it's been a while since I watched it. I think she's married to David Cross.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't know. But she's drop-dead gorgeous.
Yes.
Still is. She's on, whatchamacallit, Scandal.
Is she?
Yeah. And she's still amazingly beautiful. But, you know, it's like she doesn't care. It's like I run into her somewhere that the flirtation's not even real. It's like, yeah.
There's not going to be flirtation.
Yeah.
You know, do you flirt with other men?
No.
Well, there you go. She's not going to be flirting with you.
Well, she's still opposite sex. It's a bad analogy.
But not really. I mean, if she's interested in women,
it's bad.
For her flirting with a guy would be like you flirting with a guy. It's not going to happen.
No, her flirting with a guy is acceptable because it's the opposite sex.
Right, but she's not going to do it. That's all I meant. She's not. She'll be nice to you. She'll say hi. She maybe shake your hand firmly because she's not a millennial. But she's not going to flirt.
Well, I thought they had some problems for a while because she was talking about crossing back over the fence.
There did seem a couple years ago to be a disturbance in Ellen's marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, until Ellen reminded her who the breadwinner is.
And who'd have thunk? I mean, good for Ellen. I like Ellen. I don't watch her daytime show or anything, but, you know, I'm happy that she got success because she seems like she deserved it.
She's an extremely funny person, but God, I wish she'd stop fucking dancing. Watching her dance on her own show is just so gratuitous, and it's just like, oh God, if you knew what you looked like with that white man's overbite and those hunched shoulders, oh my God. Stop.
And I have a feeling she knows.
And it's just, no, it's just me. You know, Lisa's like, well, she's cute and she's cool. And Terry's like, hey, man, it's Ellen. It's all right. You know, what are you being such a hater for? I'm like, am I the only one seeing this?
I think so.
Oh, my God. She looks stupid. Man, lots of money make you fucking turn the other way, man. She ain't going to give you any.
I think that the episode where she came out was one of the funniest episodes. It, you know, it was groundbreaking because she was coming out, but they managed to also make it absolutely hilarious.
No, she's funny. She's a funny person. Yeah, her stand-up used to be great. And I don't even know if she still does it every now and again, but she could. You know, she's that good.
People, I think, for, you know, the youngsters, I think, don't even maybe realize that she was a stand-up comic years.
I told Samantha, who grew up on Ellen, you know, I said, you have no idea what a great stand-up comic she was. She's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, if she, this ever folds and she needs money, which she won't.
Right.
I said she could go back on the stand-up comedy circuit and slay. She's that good.
Yep.
She's the Joan Rivers of her generation. If she wanted to, she could go to 90 years old and kill it.
Yes. And then she was on that, we talked about it on another podcast, but those If These Walls Could Talk shows.
Yeah.
I think there were two of them back in the 90s, like on HBO. She and Sharon Stone did a segment on the second one, where they were a lesbian couple trying to get pregnant. And you got to see Ellen's boobs. There was a love scene between the two of them, and they went all out.
Yeah,
and she actually had nice tits.
Mr. Skin loves her tits.
They're quite spectacular. I mean, you wouldn't really expect that of her, but it was like, good for you.
I love his explanations. He's like, you know, my skin turns in the lab, you know, found a picture of Ellen in the L word. Yeah, it's like, so funny. This guy's built a business out of tits. So it's outstanding. He's got like a wife and kids. You know, they go to big Chicago private schools. You know, they're. Yeah. What do you do? Oh, nothing.
I scan movies for tits.
Yeah. He's shameless about it. I'd love to be in the PTA as Mrs. Skin. Yeah, my husband shows celebrity boobs for a living. Sorry. Yeah. Wish I could say he was an attorney, but no, he makes stupid money, much more money than your husband does.
Went to school for it?
Yeah, he's. Listen, it's a great idea. It deserves every fucking penny he makes.
Yeah. Plus, he doesn't actually have to create. You know what I mean? You're just skimming other people's stuff.
No, he watches TV all weekend. He's like, at 4:51 mark of Game of Thrones, she displays her dragons. You know,
that's a show I need to watch. I've read some of the books, and I just need to watch the show.
Yeah, I've literally watched the first 5 episodes, and I was going through my divorce, and it looked really intense and really involved, and season 2 had just started, and before I know it was like 7 episodes into that, and I was like going to court at the time, and all of a sudden I'm like 13 episodes behind, 17 episodes, you know, and I just finally had to let it go. It's going to be a binge watch on a vacation on Christmas, you know.
Right.
Yeah, like Breaking Bad was. I watched all 5 years of Breaking Bad in one weekend.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was amazing. Walter White is the shit.
You mean Walter Blanco?
Yes, Walter Blanco. Have you seen
Mexican ripoff of it?
Have you seen Better Call Saul yet?
No.
You must.
Is it good? Because, see, I've seen like mixed reviews.
Oh, no. It's one of Lisa and my favorite shows. It's
cool.
I mean, the character build on him going backwards from what you knew in Breaking Bad is, dare I say it, genius. I've never seen a character built backwards before. In a series, you know, it's like they had the finished product first, and then they had to go back and create him up until that point. And because Breaking Bad was so famous and so huge, they were able to pull it off for the first time ever. And they, all those characters that were in Breaking Bad that you loved, you know, Mike, and you know, all the ones that got killed off, you know, they're able to bring back and do a introductory story on them and where they came from and where they started. It's amazing.
Cool.
Because you're going to start seeing all these people you saw in Breaking Bad and go, oh my God. Yeah, like the drug dealer. You know, he's in there right away. You know, the real testosterone guy that always wanted to, like, cut heads off and hands and arms. He just, right. That's the way he handled everything. You know, it's like he's in there from the get-go. You know, and there's these three kids tried to rob his house, and Saul, like, negotiated for them. And he's like, listen, man, you can't kill them. You know, on the scheme of things, they don't know you're some terrible man. They just robbed a house, you know? And it's like, you know, they would just get, you know, a couple of years in prison. He's like, no, Holmes, it's my house they did. They must die. Yeah. He's like, dies, it's so yesterday, you know. It's like, don't you want to be a progressive drug dealer and be more? Yeah. So he ends up negotiating broken legs and broken arms for them. So his henchmen, like, break these two kids' arms and legs, and the next thing you see is them being dumped out of Saul's car at the ER, and he just drives off. And they're like, you piece of shit, you're the worst attorney ever, and it's like, he saved their lives. You know, they're gonna be out in the desert dead, you know. And that's like his whole thing. He's just, everybody just thinks he's a piece of shit, but he's always doing good things.
Speaking of the desert... Is it true that Las Vegas is getting an NHL team?
It is.
What do you think the name is going to be? Have they said yet?
I don't know. I don't know. They've probably said, but I think at this juncture they just got awarded the franchise. The city's got to go through the whole naming of it and all that stuff.
How do they do that? Like, does the city name it or does the owner name it?
I remember just a couple of cities of expansion teams, Jacksonville being one of them. The city votes on it. Like, they come up with four or five names and people vote on it. Although I think Jacksonville voted for the Sharks. For Jacksonville, which was an old WFL team there that was, like, really good. And I think the town decided on Sharks, and the league went, no, we're going to make them Cats like Carolina. They're the Jaguars. We're like, we don't have any fucking Jaguars here. Yeah, you know? I don't even think...
Like in Brazil? They shot with the Olympics?
Yeah, I don't even think the zoo had Jaguars in it at the time. Yeah, the one in Brazil that jumped on the gator. Did you see that?
No, I was just they were doing the torch ceremonies, some sort of torch ceremony in Brazil. And the jaguar, which is the mascot for these Olympics or something, got loose from the guy who had it on a leash, and it was walking towards a police officer, and so they just blew it away.
That's right. That's love it. I was like, whoops. Man, that whole Olympic thing is a clusterfuck.
Yes. It's like Jacksonville hosting the Super Bowl.
Not even close. Jacksonville had its shit together compared to this. Jacksonville was a piece of organizational genius next to this. I mean, in the end, Jacksonville pulled it off, you know?
Just barely, though. Just it was barely. like literally minutes before.
Yeah, but they did it. You know, let's not look past the fact that come Monday morning, everybody had a room, everybody saw the game, the broadcast was done. You know, was it Ritz-Carlton conditions? No.
Were there food vendors on the streets?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, you know, but in the end, it turned out okay. Is it ever going to be there again? No.
Not in this century.
Nor should it be. It should have never been there to begin with. To me, the Olympics and Super Bowl should be in the same three places all the time.
Greece.
It should be Miami for the Super Bowl, Miami, oh. San Diego,
And Detroit.
And Dallas should be the three Super Bowl locations. Because they're the three... No, it's too fucking cold and too miserable.
But you know what? Because Detroit had it the year after Jacksonville, and I remember reading over and over again from ESPN and all the sports blogs and everything, this is how you throw a Super Bowl. Detroit's showing Jacksonville, fuck you. Detroit knows how to handle a whole slew of people. They know how to handle, you know... a party.
Nobody wants to go there, Stace. Nobody wanted to go to Jacksonville for the Super Bowl. Nobody wanted to go to Detroit or New York or any of these other places they're trying to have it. They want warm fucking weather, you know, so they should have it in a place that's had it before. To me, if it went back and forth between San Diego and Miami, I'd be cool with it. And then every year, you know it's going there. You know it can handle it. You know it's got the restaurants, the hotels, the complete ability to deal. And it would be fine. You know, and same thing with the Olympics. It should be in four places in the world. It should be like. Beijing did an amazing job with the Olympics.
I did not watch a single moment of it because I hate China.
Yeah, but they did it right. LA did an amazing job with the Olympics.
Yes.
London, an amazing job with the Olympics. And then...
Not Brazil. Everyone's going to get Zika.
Nowhere.
Is it Zika, Zika, whatever it's called?
Yeah, nowhere in South America. I mean, just...
It started, what, like 4 years ago or whenever it was? You know, the whole, you know, my God, the water, every cubic centimeter of water in Brazil has human waste in it.
Well, they also... Here's the other thing they don't tell you. When you see pictures of Rio de Janeiro, you see the same beach and the same mountaintop every time.
Yes.
And there's a reason for that, because that's it. The rest of it
that's
is,
like,
the rest of it's shanty town.
I've obviously never been to the pyramids in Egypt, but you know, you see the pictures. You know what they look like. You know what they are. Apparently, on one side of, I think it's the Great Pyramid, down right along the base, there is like a gypsy village. It's just a bunch of tents and stuff, and like really, 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 really poor people live there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you never see that when they show the pictures of the Great Pyramid, you know. But I guess, it's just the smell. You know, if you're a tourist, I still would love to go. You know what I wish? My pipe dream was when the millennial... You know, when it went from 99 to 2000, Pink Floyd performed there, and I would have just, you know, given body parts and a lot of blowjobs to have been able to be there.
Oh, well, should have told Pink Floyd.
I don't think they would have cared.
Nonsense.
Could you imagine? I think that would have been like spiritual.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them in Tampa, and it was spiritual.
It was. For me, I saw them at the Silver Dome. Mm-hmm. And
which tour did you see?
It was the Division Bell, the Pulse.
It's the one I saw also with the Burning
They did
Bad.
Two shows. Yeah, and two shows in Detroit. And, you know, when tickets went on sale, I got them because it was just one show. Got them. Great. And then they scheduled another show for the day before, which was like, what the fuck? Yeah. You know, everyone, these little slackers get to go. But what they did was they played Dark Side all the way through for our show.
Yeah.
So I got to hear Dark Side all the way through as performed by Pink Floyd. And I saw The Wall done twice by Roger Waters.
Yeah. Great gig in the sky with the black chicks. Mm. Oh, my God.
Yes. And see, I had dropped some acid.
Absolutely.
And I just remember,
you know,
the video.
Others.
It was the most amazing thing. It really was. It
acts like they're the only person at the Pink Floyd show to drop acid. It's like, hey, dumb fuck, we all did.
But you know, all the videos they were showing, the one with the guy on the bed, and they kept going back to the bed, and like he's like paralyzed or something, so he's making the bed go, and the bed gets big and goes up through the sky, and then like it comes back, and then a bed gets small and it goes through the keyhole in the door, and then he's flying around the atoms and stuff. I was making that bed go.
Do you remember when they actually sent the real bed down the down the wire that to explode.
Yes.
Oh God, that was so awesome.
And it scared, because you're not, you know, again, I'm in my own little world doing my thing, and it was like, ah.
I remember feeling the heat off of it. It was like 70 feet above my head, but I remember feeling the heat off the bed, you know, because the whole thing was just a big thing of propane, you know. It was like, and I was like, whoa. And the thing goes in the
and then at the very end,
and we're like,
at the very, very end, when the big disco ball thing came up, this was like the Pontiac Silverdome, and it came up out of the middle of the floor. The band's like at one end of, you know, what would be the field and stuff. And that came out, and it had to have been like six stories. And then, you know, it was the lights, you know, there'd been all the colors and all the lasers and everything. And then everything went white. It was only white lights on that. And it, with like the millions and millions of little facets of the mirrors of the disco ball, it was just like this blinding, amazing, like, I can't even explain it. I just love that show so much.
Yeah, they knew it was wow. They knew what they were doing, man. They really
did. Oh, God, yeah.
What do you think of this whole Led Zeppelin lawsuit?
I haven't really super been paying attention because I am afraid of seeing pictures of Robert Plant because, my God, he got old.
Oh, he looks
great. Paul McCartney still looks like Paul McCartney. I would never guess that that was Robert Plant.
Oh, no, I saw him on TV, I guess, about 6 months ago. He looked great. I guess it depends on
really?
Where you see him, yeah. You know, I've seen some pictures of Paul McCartney that weren't real flattering, too. You know, it just depends. But
yeah.
But he, for the most part, at 70, he looks pretty amazing. But this lawsuit's interesting. Apparently, they have paid out settlements on about 20 songs to people that thought they were plagiarizing. They just paid them to go away. But this is the Sacred Cow. Stairway to Heaven. So they're taking this one all the way to the end.
I don't blame them.
Have you heard the original song?
No.
Whoa.
Does it sound like it? I mean, is it it?
Well, I mean, a good portion of it is. Certainly enough to get the riff.
Really?
Yeah. And
why are they doing this now, you know, 40 years after the fact?
Actually, Randy California is dead. Jay Ferguson's still alive from Spirit. He doesn't give a fuck. He was like, but apparently a executor of the estate has been asked to go after this. So it's somebody in Randy California's family that, you know, has a piece of coal up their ass that's turned into a diamond over the years about this.
Is the other song called Stairway to Plevin?
No. I mean, what? I forget what the name of it is, but it's Spirit. I'm sure you can look it up and find it and hear it for yourself. But it's really, really, really close, but just for a second. Just for a few seconds. Very, very much like Tom Petty and Red Hot Chili Peppers. Very much like lots of songs. I mean, you and I probably could sit down and come up with a dozen instances like this in an afternoon. Just talking about music, we could probably find stuff that's similar.
Yeah.
And go, oh yeah, that. You know, if we did enough research, we could probably make a case it got stolen on this tour or that tour or, you know, what have you. But who cares? You know, to me, Spirit was Spirit. Led Zeppelin is Led Zeppelin. It's like they've got, you know, 7 or 8 platinum records. You know, the proof's kind of in the pudding that they know what they're doing. You know, so there's a song that sounds a lot like yours. So what?
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I was with Tom Petty on the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's like, yeah, I get where Californication sounds like Mary Jane's Last Dance, but just for a little bit. The vibes.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't. I guess I've obviously heard both songs many. I never made that connection. Like, wow.
Yeah,
you know?
It's one of those things. When somebody brought it up, I went, "Oh yeah, I see that."
I think it's more the feel and tone of the songs rather than the actual note pattern and you know what I mean. It just I don't.
It's in the eye of the juror, I guess. You know, I mean, you can probably make anything sound like anything if you want to. There's only so many chords, so only so many progressions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mathematically, at some point, all songs will already have been written.
Yeah.
Think about that, folks.
But does this song sound like Stairway to Heaven to me? No. Not even close. Just for a second. Just for a microcosm. You know, 3 or 4 seconds, you go, oh. And then you go, okay, that's it. So if that inspired him to do, you know, the first couple opening of notes of Stairway to Heaven, whatever.
What's your favorite Zeppelin song?
Oh, God, there's so many. But probably the best pure Zeppelin song to me is The Ocean.
Mine is When the Levee Breaks.
Yeah, it's... I mean, that's... That's definitely the early bluesy Led Zeppelin, for sure. The Ocean, to me, just, you know, as soon as you hear it, you're just like, oh, it's Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
But anything on Led Zeppelin, too, Heartbreaker, Living Loving Maid, all that stuff, Thank You, you know, Lemon Song, all that stuff, it's all great.
I got to see Paige Plant back in the 90s, you know, when they did their tour with the orchestra.
Yeah.
Which was just fantastic. And I had always, because I going into the concert, I'm sitting there thinking, they've got to play In the Evening. Does not In the Evening seem like it would be great orchestrated?
Yeah.
And they didn't play it. And I was really disappointed. That was like the only downer, but it was a great show. I enjoyed it tremendously. And of course, the 18-minute version of Kashmir with the sitars and bongos and stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're just plain cool.
Yeah.
You know, I told you I got to spend some time with Robert Plant when we did his world premiere when I worked out in Los Angeles. So I was in a room with him for several hours. And, you know, to have a guy like that asking you about you and what are your dreams and what do you like to do and all that stuff is, you're just like, is this happening?
I had two moments like that. They didn't actually ask about me, but like, or I feel that I had like an intimate moment with a famous person. One was Billy Corgan. And I only got him to talk to me because he had just performed earlier. Pink Floyd had been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he was the one who performed with them. And I went up to, you could tell, everyone's going, oh my God, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And he was really disinterested. And I just wanted to know about Pink Floyd. And so I asked him, you know, what was it like to play with Pink Floyd? And apparently he's a huge, 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 huge fan. And he sat and talked to me for 20 minutes, told me all about how he fucked up the chords when he was playing, you know, and how horrified he was. But, you know, he was talking to me like a music fan, someone who loved Pink Floyd as much as I do. And so that was pretty cool. And then when David Coverdale was in the studio with us at one time, and it was right around the time that a story had come out. And it was one of those, why did it even come out? Because nobody cares. But that Tawny Kitaen, of course, a former wife of David Coverdale.
Yes.
And O.J. Simpson had sex in a limousine while it drove around New York at some point.
Yeah. They just did that 5-part ESPN thing on O.J. and all that. And that was brought up in there.
And I asked him, we were outside smoking. And I asked him, you know... about that. And I said, did she have sex with OJ? And he's like, he was cool. He's like, he wasn't mad that I asked. He's like, I really don't know everyone that she's had sex with or anything. And then he said, but I can tell you, they never found the hood ornament on that car from that car in the video. All right. I love you.
Yeah.
And his voice, he's got that very deep, proper British voice. Like, and it's like, oh, just tuck me in.
Yes, Stacey.
Tuck me in and read me a story. You know, I just want you to talk to me.
You know, Stacey, they never did find the hood ornament of that.
He does. He sounds so classy when he's talking. It's just oh my God. And of course, he came in with his curly hair, the David Coverdale hair that you're expecting, and his black leather pants. And it's like, you can pull that off without looking like a douchebag. Yeah, congratulations.
He's total old school rock and roll, man. He's awesome. Yeah, he was fun. We were like on a first name basis with him and everything. And of course, 20 years went by in a flash. You know, and hadn't spoken to him. And we had Whitesnake did a new album. And we had him on, and it's like he's like, "Oh yes, I do remember Lex and Terry. How are you?" You know, it's like this guy's had so many adventures. You know, but the Tiny Katane stuff. You know, he goes, "I remember feeling bad for Chuck Finley." This is the pitcher for the Angels that she ended up with.
Who is the one who lit their husband's house on fire?
Oh.
Some crazy chick. Famous celebrity who married...
Andre Rison's chick in TLC.
Okay. Was it that?
Left Eye or whatever.
It was the one that died?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was trying to remember.
Yeah, when he played for the Jaguars, we had him on the show, and he's when we went in the break, he goes, "That fucking bitch crazy, man." he goes, "Burning my fucking house down." I was like, "Yeah. I'd sure hate to have somebody like that in my life."
Whew, dodged a bullet, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hey, we had our issues, but you know, there were no house burning downs, you know. So, I mean, when you're burning down your own shit because you're that pissed, you know, that's insane. Yeah, it's just like, wow.
No, I couldn't.
You're lighting up your fucking retirement.
Yes.
You know?
And see, I'm like completely opposite. You know, I know tornadoes are very rare in Michigan, but I already know. If I'm home and a tornado is coming and like I know it's actually coming because I can see it outside, I already know that I'm going to take the dogs and I'm going to take the cats and where we're going to go in the basement and, you know, all this stuff. I've got all these plans. I don't want my house being destroyed. I don't want to burn it. I don't want it to topple down.
No, it's your house. You're not supposed to.
See, right.
That's rational thinking.
I think that's called self-preservation.
Yeah, you're supposed to not want your house to burn down. That's not weird behavior at all to me.
Good.
Burning down your own house and thinking your guy's in it while you're doing it? Okay.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Yeah, no wonder you're chasing waterfalls to put the fire out.
Wow, Lex. Throwing out a TLC reference, really? Who are you?
I am knowledge of all music, Stacy. That's what I am.
I think that means the Four Horsemen are riding. I would never in a billion years have said, Lex is going to make a TLC song reference today.
Hey, it's a joke. Lex makes jokes.
But not usually about TLC.
No matter what it takes. No, whatever it takes. So, anyway.
Real quick. I'm sorry, just real quick. The Anton Yelchin guy. Your thoughts on how he died horribly.
Who's this?
That actor who was crushed by his Jeep. Chekhov from the new Star Trek movies.
Oh, the Star Trek guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fucked up. I don't know what you want me to say.
No, I just... Because he's like one of those people that I never paid... Yeah, I never paid attention to him, but like he was an Aunt Thomas and stuff. And then when I read the news that morning that he had died, it was kind of like, aw. And I've actually been more bummed about it than I guess I would have ever thought, because I've never had like a singular thought about him before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you can tell I didn't.
Yes. Oh, the Star Trek guy.
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah. If he was one of the original Star Trek guys, then I'd be heartbroken.
How did you handle Spock's end?
Logically.
Now you may wrap it up.
Goodbye, Stacey.
Mic drop.
See you on the next podcast.
Bye, Lex.
Bye, Stace.
Those were fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out well. Roughly about 45 minutes apiece.